Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament text which has already been read. You know this, not all land is the same. You know that some land is better for some things than other land for those same things. Steep land is good for growing grapes, and if the soil is a little bit sandy, all the better. But you can't grow corn or beans on steep hills, but that's okay. The combine wouldn't do very well on them anyway. And you don't see much rice in Iowa, do you? The land in southeast Kansas contains a lot of clay, and that clay is good for making clay pipes, which can then be used to tile porous, deep, black dirt. And some land is just plain better than other land. The reason why not many people live in the desert or in the Arctic is because it's just not very good land. In fact, there aren't many living things at all living there. You can go mile after mile and see no plants and few animals. On the other hand, if you drive from here to Omaha, you're going to see a lot and a plethora of plants and animals every mile without end. And you also know where that land came from, don't you? That land came from God. God created land. And when he created land, he said that it was good. It was good. And then he created other things, and then he created Adam and Eve, and it was very good. And then, of course, came the fall into sin, and that was very bad. Right after that original sin, God announced that he would send a descendant to Eve whose heel would be bruised by Satan. But that seed of Eve would crush the head of Satan, delivering to him a fatal blow. We call that the Proto-Evangelium, the first gospel. And you know, Eve thought that Cain was the one, but he wasn't. And God had told the people to multiply and fill the earth, and they did. And that was good, but they were bad. They were bad. They were very bad. By the time of Noah, God observed in collective humanity that, quote, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not all people are alike. And those people were very bad. And most of them were called out in the flood, all except for Noah and his three sons and all their wives. And they went their separate ways and began once again to multiply. And every time they saw a rainbow in the sky, they knew that there would be no repeat of that horrible flood. That was the covenant God had made with his people. Never again would he universally flood the earth. We have floods, but they're not universal. Shortly after that, God made another covenant, this one with Abram. God chose Abram for no particular reason and told Abram to leave all that was familiar and to go to, quote, a land that I will show you. Hit the road, and I'll show you after we get on the road where we're going. And Abram went. The first of several reasons why he is known as a man of faith. Later, God promised to Abram many children. He promised to him land of his own. And he promised Abram, that through you all the nations will be blessed. But there was a catch. There was a catch to this covenant, this promise God made with Abram. His descendants would be, quote, slaves in a land not their own. For 400 years. And it turns out that during those 400 years, the descendants of Abram, God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many people. They went down to Egypt, his descendants, 70 people, 70. And they came out 6 million people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So many people that their slave master Egyptians began to fear them and took measures which did not work. Moses came and the plagues and led them out, and they crossed the Red Sea, 6 million of them. And from there, they went to Mount Sinai, where God famously and personally gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, who took him down to the people. Not so well known. About this time, God told them to kill all the inhabitants of Canaan. And if they didn't, then those pagans would trouble them all their days. Turns out they didn't, and they did. But first, because of their unbelief, after Sinai, after the spies went into Canaan, because of their unbelief, God made them to wander in the wilderness of sin for 40 years. Not quite 400, but 40 years is a long time to wander around in the wilderness. And that wilderness of sin, it has nothing to do with sinfulness. That's just the name of it. And if you Google Map, a place called El Marca, Satellite, it's a nasty place. Just steep hills and crags, not much vegetation. Not a good land, that wilderness of sin. A very bad land. And you wonder how anything can even live there. Well, how they lived there for 40 years, of course, is that God fed them with manna, carbs in the morning, and with quail, rhymes with whale, flies in the sky, tastes like chicken, protein in the evening. And now, after 40 years, they stand poised to go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And you probably also know what's the big deal about land. Land's a big deal. Land can divide neighbors. Land can break families. And when nations go to war with other nations, no matter the posturing, it's almost always about land. It's why our ancestors fought their way across this continent, why they came to Iowa, and the German rationale for trying to conquer Europe in the 30s and 40s was that they needed Lebensraum, living space, living space. And the thing about land is that if you have it, first of all, you can, you know, live on it. You can live on it. Landless people like Abraham wandered hither and yon, living in a tent. Living in a tent. If you have land, you can eat things that live there. Natural vegetation, wild animals. And you can even plant things in the ground and have some semblance of control over what you eat. Yeah, stuff happens, but I know that if I plant tomato seeds around here, or carrots, probably going to get tomatoes, probably going to get some carrots. Not all land is the same. The land of Canaan was, and still is, a very good land. Of the land of Canaan, God says to Israel, there's going to be a lot of water here. Going to be a lot of water. And life, of course, needs water. No water, no life. And you can use water to move things around on boats and to power things. Lots of water in that land. Moses says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and streams and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. Water. And it's a land where you can plant things that grow in the ground. And in the ancient world, carbs were their friend, and cereal crops were especially important. They're high in carbs and act as the gasoline, maybe the jet fuel for the human body. No corn, that was in South America, but a land of wheat and barley and fruit trees, including grapes from which you produce wine. Lots of fruit trees grow in Canaan. Google agriculture in Israel and see some of those fruit trees. A land particularly suited to olive trees, from which come things like olives and olive oil. And those are good things. And don't forget the honey. Don't forget the honey. The ancient world's sweetener, processed sugar will come later. A land of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. Pretty good land, pretty good diet, and lots of it, lots of it. Moses said, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you lack nothing. And did we mention the rich mineral deposits? A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you. And it all sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit familiar. And lots of it. And that's why the first Thanksgiving was observed in this country. Across the pond, things were going on in the Anglican Church in England. And mostly because of that and the land here, some of them journeyed over here. They landed at Virginia. And in 1620, they landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts. Not all years are the same. And the first year was rough. And the first winter, about half of them died. And then they figured out how things work. And the second year was a good year, a great year. And they found out that they not only had enough, but they had an abundance of things to eat. And they invited guests to their Thanksgiving celebration. Tomorrow, a lot of people will celebrate the latest Thanksgiving Day. Maybe you invited some guests. We're going to be guests twice. But a lot of people won't know or even think about who they are or should be thanking. Seems like kind of a hollow Thanksgiving. Just eat the turkey. Those people in the Plymouth colony, they were Christians. And when they got an abundance like they did, they knew who to thank because they knew who was the giver of that abundance. When Christians all around the world celebrate a day of thanks, we know to whom to direct our thanks. To a gracious and loving God who put us here and who gives us an abundance of things to keep and sustain us here because of his love for us. Not all religions are the same. And a day of national thanksgiving, an idea started by us, it's kind of caught on. I looked it up, and days of thanks is something that happens in a lot of countries. And all of them I saw were Christian countries. And by the way, you don't have to be a rich country to celebrate a day of thanksgiving. India, at least the Christian parts of India, have a day of thanksgiving. I looked again, and I didn't see any non-Christian countries who do have a national day of thanksgiving. So, of course, why would you thank that God of vengeance or even hatred? And in most cases, it seems, for what do I have to be thankful for? No, not all land is the same. And like the Cana that awaited God's people back then, this land here, this is a very good land. A very good land. Talking about here, talking about the country. For that, we thank our loving God who has blessed our nation and individuals in it with great blessings of body, including some of those listed by Luther in the first article. He gives me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, all my senses, and still takes care of them and try to make a living without those things. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. And might I say, in abundance. I have lots of clothes. 10 pair of shoes. In abundance. And blessings also of the soul. Because he kept that covenant with Abraham. The one about through your descendants, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. He came into this world. And on Good Friday, he had his heel bruised by Satan. And on Easter Sunday, he rose victorious from the dead, crushing the head of Satan, defeating sin and death as well, to give to us eternal life, which is going to be spent in heaven. And if you think this is a great land, and it is, just wait till you get there. That place is going to knock your socks off. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.